USS Gettysburg was alongside the floating pier in the York River. "Mr. Richardson," Captain Blandy said to the officer of the deck. "Yes, sir," the lieutenant answered. "Let's get underway." Gregory walked out on the bridge wing to watch. "Dr. Gregory?" Captain Blandy had stuck his head out the pilot house door. "Yeah, Captain?" "You want to get below and do your software magic on our birds?" "You bet." He knew the way, and in 3 minutes was at the computer terminal which handled that task. "Hey, Doc," Senior Chief Leak said, sitting down next to him. "All ready? I'm supposed to help." "Okay. Hey, wait a minute. The screen wasn't right. Doc, we loaded 6 Block 4D. The other two are stock SM2ER Block 3C radar homers. What can I tell you? Captain Blandy's conservative." "So I only do the upgrade on holes 1 through 6? "No, do them all. Just it'll ignore the changes you made to the infrared homing code. The chips on the birds can handle the extra code, no sweat."
"I think this is imprudent," Fang told them all. "Is fueling the missiles necessary? Is there not a danger of provocation?"
"You will not prepare them for launch until we have a chance to consider the matter," Qian asked.
"Why, of course not."
"And so the real problem is, how do we tell the people what has transpired in Siberia?"
"The people will believe what we tell them to believe."
"Comrades, we cannot conceal the rising of the sun. Neither can we conceal the loss of our rail transport system. We must face facts here. To proclaim that we are winning when we may not be is dangerous for all of us."
"You say the people will rise up?" Tong Ji asked.
"No, but I say there could be dissatisfaction and unrest."
"How will adverse information get out?" Luo asked.
"The TV will show what we wish them to show."
"What do they call it?" "This one's Grace Kelly, the other two are Marilyn Monroe and..." "Can't remember," General Moore said. "Anyway, they named them for movie stars."
"And how do they transmit?"
"The Dark Star uploads directly to a communications satellite, encrypted, of course, and we distribute it out of Fort Belvoir."
"So we can send it out any way we want?"
"Yes, sir."
"Okay, Ed, the Chinese are telling their people what?"
"They started off by saying the Russians committed a border intrusion and they counterattacked. They're also saying that they're kicking Ivan's ass."
The president leaned forward. "You know, one of the reasons we took it on the chin with Vietnam is people got to see the war every night. How will it affect the Chinese if their people see the war live?"
"The battle that's coming?
But how do we..."
"Oh, yeah. Holy shit, Jack, are you serious?"
"Can we do it?"
"Technically, it's child's play."
"Then turn the children loose, Ed. Right now."
With the death of General Peng, command of 34th Shock Army devolved to Major General Ji Li.
"I need to talk to Marshal Luo," he said over the command frequency.
It took another 10 minutes because the defense minister, he was told, was in a Politburo meeting.
"That was General Ji Li," Luo told the Politburo. "We've had some bad luck. General Peng is dead, killed by a sniper bullet."
Then one of his aides appeared and handed him a slip of paper. He scanned it.
"This is confirmed?"
"Yes, Comrade Marshal, the ships are in sight of land even now."
"What ships? What land?" Premier Su asked.
"Comrade, it seems some American warships are bombarding our coast near Guangzhou."
"Bombarding? You mean with guns? Why would they do that?"
"Isn't that what one does prior to putting troops on the beach?"
Foreign Minister Shen asked.
"Well, yes, it could be that, I suppose, but invasion?"
"Such a thing is most unlikely. America simply doesn't have the troops to do such a..."
"What if they get assistance from Taiwan?"
Tong Chi asked.
"You told us a week ago that we had all the forces required to defeat the Russians, even if they got some aid from America," Qian observed. "What fiction do you have for us now, Luo? What have you not told us? We are not peasants here to be told what to believe."
"We fight a war with the Russians."
"It's not a burglary in an unoccupied house. Yes, they will fight back, but it won't matter. We will smash them, I tell you." Is there any information which you have not told us? Interior Minister Dong asked.
Major General Ji reported to me that 29th Army sustained a serious air attack earlier today. The effects of this attack are not clear. Probably they managed to damage communications, and an air attack cannot seriously hurt a large mechanized land force. The tools of war do not permit such a thing.
Now what? Premier Xu asked.
I propose that we adjourn the meeting and allow Minister Luo to return to his task of managing our armed forces,
Zhang Hansan proposed,
and that we reconvene, say, at 16 hours.
There were nods around the table. Everyone wanted time to consider the things they'd heard.
Outside the conference room, Tian buttonholed Fang.
Something is going badly wrong. I can feel it.
How sure are you of that?
Fang, I don't know what the Americans have done to my railroad bridges, but I assure you that to destroy them is no small thing. Moreover, the destruction crippled our ability to supply our field armies. You only do such a thing in preparation to smashing them. And now the commanding general of our advancing armies is suddenly killed. Stray bullet my ass! That Tsetha Luo leads us to disaster, Fang.
We'll know more this afternoon, Fang suggested, leaving his colleague and going to his office.
Arriving there, he dictated another segment for his daily journal. For the first time, he wondered if it might turn out to be his testament.
Ming was disturbed by her minister's demeanor. She took her dictation quietly and went out to her desk to do the transcription. It was time for the midday meal by the time she was done, and she went out to lunch with her co-worker, Cho. Lunch dragged on longer than usual. Clearly, their minister didn't need any of them for the moment, and Ming was out just long enough to trigger her computer's downtime activation, and though the screen was blank, the hard drive silently activated the onboard modem. Mary Pat Foley was in her office, though it was past midnight, and she was logging onto her mail account every 15 minutes, hoping for something new from Sorgi.
You've got mail?
Yes, she lifted the phone. Get Sears up here.
Working late? Sears asked.
Who isn't? MP held out the latest printout. Read.
Politburo meeting. Looks a little raucous.
Oh, shit. What's that?
They discussed increasing the readiness of their ICBM force. They were shook by our takeout of their missile submarine.